back energy.
Well, yeah, go on in there.
Thank you very much indeed.
Go if you like that. Thank you very much. Enjoy me.
Started at the 2A in Northwest London, Monday, 1st November, 26th of Cheshvan, Dayan Elimelech Van Zetta, the halachas of owning pets.
Pets. Dogs. Cats.
Who's your rats?
Dear friends, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Always a pleasure to come. And I was actually thinking for a second. I think I used to come here more often when I lived 10,000 miles away than I do now, that I live only in Edgware. Exactly. And you know that the distance from Edgware to Golders Green is not the same as the distance from Golders Green to Edgware. Okay, but it's a pleasure to be here. We're going to be talking about the halachas of owning pets. Now, as we normally say, and we've known each other now for probably 10 years, these questions and our discussions, they are in the realm of theoretical halachas. They may be halacha lemaisa for those who ask me, they're shailas. For anyone who doesn't, it is incumbent upon you to ask the shailas. You need to ask your own poisek, your own rov. The shailas are not paskening for anyone. We are looking at the halachas, we're looking at the background. Now, it's quite interesting. I need to thank Rabbi Zalzbacher, who is also a Torah Way contributor, and the menahal of Menorah Grammar School. Because this year came about, so he invited me to give assembly on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos and Parshas Noach. Now it's quite interesting. So, you know, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Noach. Well, I'm going to go there, give a nice shtickle on the Parsha, or alternatively, I can discuss a recurring Shaila that happens at that time of the year, year after year. It's quite interesting, especially here. There is, whenever Parshas Noach comes about, schools organize petting zoo experiences. Petting zoo experiences. Yeah, they take the children to see sheep and goats and rabbits and then whatever. Or they take the petting zoo to the school and it becomes a whole experience, and invariably I get many a phone call from parents saying, my daughter, my son now wants a rabbit. They want a pet. What do I do? But it's quite interesting. You can't simply, from a halachic standpoint, a Torah observant yid can't simply go to a shop, or even, you know, Battersea Dog's Home, whatever it is, a shelter, and buy a dog without consideration for the halachic ramifications of that decision. So the very first question we need to ask is whether or not, from a halachic standpoint, is it at all mutter, permitted for a yid, to own a pet? That's question number one. It shouldn't be taken for granted, and we shouldn't assume it can be done, or we shouldn't assume it can't be done. We need to see what halacha tells us. And in addition to owning, even if you do own it, there are many other ramifications and many other shailas that will come to the fore if you have a pet. Let me give you some examples. Ilchos Shabbos. Is it mutter or not mutter? Is there enough community if the pet belongs to me, or if the pet belongs to my neighbor or to my friend? They go away for Shabbos and they ask me to look after the pet. Is it mutter to stroke a pet on Shabbos? Hair is going to come off. Maybe there is a Shiloh Melech's Grazes of Toilish. May I put a hamster, a guinea pig, or a rabbit back in its cage on Shabbos? Let's say, for example, I open the little door to put a carrot in. Next thing you know, the rabbit runs away, escapes from the cage. I do not want the rabbit to be roaming around, and I pick it up. May I put it back? Manifest solid. Trapping. Or maybe you have a dog, and the dog doesn't live in a cage or in that, you know, little dog house. It lives in one of your, in your playroom, whatever it is. May I put the dog there and close the door? These are serious shilas that may present Isurim Deoraisim Shabbos, may or may not, but they need to be addressed. Ilchus Isur Beheter. Isur Beheter. Simon Bey Zain in Shulchan Aruch Yeridea. May I feed my pet foods that contain a mixture of meat and milk? Yes or no? We find it three times mentioned in the Torah. Ilchus Pesach. What do I do on Pesach if my pet's food contains chametz? Ilchus Metzias Apas. Must I feed my pet before I sit down to eat? Or can I sit down and eat and then I'll think of the pet later? Ilchus Kosher Mishpat. Provided I may have a dog, may I own any type of dog? Or is it limited to certain types of dog and not others? Or may I own a dog at all? Now, these are just some of the various shilas that one needs to look into before deciding whether or not it is mutter to own a pet. And I will not address every single one of these questions today. Some of the of them will be left unanswered, or unaddressed, rather. But it is very important to highlight their existence. Now, every single one of these shilas, as Torah Eden, we need to remember the Mishnah in Avos, in Perek Hei, Mishnah Chof Beis, and the Mishnah says, Ben Bag Bag Oimer, Afoch Bei Dekula Bei. We need to look for answers in our Torah. And in the Torah, we find, and we, if we look for the answers and we know, Shilas Chochum Chetzi Tshuva, first of all, we need to know how to formulate a shaila, a parenthesis. Someone phoned me a couple of months ago. It was a very serious shaila, very, very serious, literally a life and death situation. This person is a bintur, choshev a bintur. And he phoned me up, not because he wanted to ask me a shaila. I wouldn't have passed on that shaila. It was literally a life and death situation, deciding on doing something that might bring that a person's life to an end. So he said, you know, I need to ask, he knows I'm very close to Rav Osher Weiss, Shlita, Rav Hashem. He said, I need to present this question to Rav Osher. He says, this is the question. Say, okay, so you want me to be the shadchan between you and Rav Osher? Is that why you're calling me? He says, no, I'm calling you because I need help with the nusach of the shaila. I don't know how to write a shaila. I need to present it in a very, very, it has to be very well put together. I don't know how to formulate the shaila. There's a choshuva Bentura, been learning for many, many years. He says, I have no experience in asking shilas. I ask, you know, typical, well, I forgot, Yalaviyahoy shilas, but there's a shayla. So, afokhwe, the kulaboy. We formulate the shayla, we look into Torah, we ask the question, and we find the answer. So, question number one that we're going to be dealing with. Is it at all mutter to own a dog? Now, we find four sources in Baba Kama dealing with this question. First is the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama, that this Bava Mutbeis, and the Gemara mentions the Rabbi Nosson holds that a person who raises an evil dog in his home transgresses the mitzvah deoraisa, is over the mitzvah deoraisa of do not bring blood guilt in your home, which is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Perek Chof Beis, pasuk Ches. And this implies that it is osur midoraisa to raise an evil, meaning a harmful dog. Now, we know, whenever in Torah something is mentioned in a very precise manner, Zebale Apuke, this comes to exclude what is not mentioned. So if the Gemara is saying over here, Rabbi Nosson is saying a Kelev Ra, it means that if it's a Kelev Toiv, then it would be Mutter. So if it's a harmless kind of dog, apparently from this Gemara, we could say it would be Mutter. Now, we find in the Gemara in Baba Kama, further on, same Gemara, four sources in the Gemara in Baba Kama. In the Gemara in Baba Kama, that Pei Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shmuel is matir, raising a type of a dog, known as a Kofri dog. Not a Kofri, a Kofri dog. Which according to Rashi means a small dog, or even a large hunting dog, but which does no harm at all. Why? Because this hunting dog that does no harm to humans might be very effective in getting rid of rodents, for example. But it presents no harm at all to humans. So Rashi explains that Kofri is either a very small dog that is harmless, or even a big one, but it must be harmless. That is the definition according to Rashi, or Rabbi Shmuel's opinion in the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama. Now, we find also in Baba Kama, that Ein Tes Amud Beis, that one is forbidden to own a dog unless it is securely chained. Why? Because if the dog is not securely chained, it will neither, if the dog is securely chained, it will neither do any harm nor frighten anyone when it barks. So the Gemara is now introducing something else. That the barking of a dog could be so frightening that the barking itself, if the dog is let loose, might cause harm to someone. And indeed, there are examples of a woman who miscarried. She was very frightened of a dog barking. She felt she was going to be attacked. Now, notwithstanding all of the three opinions that we've mentioned so far, the Amoraim, four dafim later, in Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the Amoraim go as far as to curse someone who owns a dog. So we see over here four sources in the Gemara dealing with various permutations of dog ownership, going from Chas v'Sholem, the most extreme, which is cursing anyone who owns a dog, which is the opinion of the Amoraim and the Gemara, to being matir, a Kofri type of dog, saying that any dog as long as it is chained, or saying that anyone who raises a Kelev Ra, but basically, is over a mitzvah deoraisa. So we have opposing statements, and we have differing opinions over here. Now, if we fast forward onto the opinion of the Rishonim, the Rambam says the following. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Niske Mamim, Perek Hei, Halacha Tes. The Rambam rules that it is, according to the Rambam, it is osur. It is osur to raise any dog unless it is securely chained. Why? Says the Rambam, because dogs frequently cause considerable damage. So the Rambam over here is following the opinion that we mentioned, the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama, the Ein Tes Amud Beis, that it is a prerequisite that the dog must be chained. If it isn't, it is forbidden. And therefore, something else that we may infer from here is that the Rambam also holds like Rabbi Shmuel. I beg your pardon. The Rambam holds that Rabbi Shmuel is a Das Yochid in the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel is the one who allows the Kofri type of dog. The Rambam holds that Rabbi Shmuel is a Das Yochid in the Gemara. Why? Because the other three sources in the Gemara in Baba Kama are much more restrictive in dog ownership than Rabbi Shmuel was. And therefore, the Roman follows the rule of the rule of Azlin and Basar Aroiv, and if the majority of opinions, 3 out of 4 opinions in the Gemara, in the same Gemara, in various places, in the same Masechta, if 3 out of 4 opinions either place severe limitations into dog ownership or say that it can't be done, the Roman Baskins, it can't be done. Now, most Rishonim, including this Mag, in Mitzvah Asay, Mitzvah Samach Vov, the Yerein, the Tur, the Gris Maimonios in Ilchos Ritzeach, Perek Yud Ches, Aloche Gimel. Most Rishonim believe that the various restrictive sources found in Baba Kama mentioned at the beginning of the Shir, or up to this point, are limited exclusively to a Kelev Ra, to an evil dog. And therefore, the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they limit the prohibition to owning something that will be considered or defined as a Kelev Ra. And that is also the opinion brought by the Yom Shel Shlomi on his Perush on Maseches Baba Kama. Now, yes?
Some animals are very docile. Cats are usually docile.
Okay, we're talking about dogs, and we're going to move on to other pets in a second. And fish and turtles and rabbits, so on and so forth. But as an introduction, given that pets probably constitute the majority, dogs probably constitute the majority of pets in proportion, so the opening salvo, as if it were, is analyzing dogs. Now,
is there not a chashash of tzar balei chayim by keeping an animal chained up?
Oh, very good, very good. There is another shaila that we need to ask to add to the list of shailas that one has to ask before deciding on whether or not even if it is mutter for yena, who says my personal circumstances allow me to have one? You're completely right. If a person, basically, if a person lives in a shoebox. Shoebox. You can't have a German Shepherd. Yeah, you can't confine such a massive dog, even if it's very docile, it's very gentle. But you can't confine to a 2x2 sort of room. That could be a shail of tzar balei chayim. Right,
again. Okay. Could be a tzar balei chayim for the owner as well, because the dog is released. Absolutely.
Now, what is the definition? The Gemara has told us, the Gemara has mentioned the concept, the musag of Kelev Ra, but what is the definition of a Kelev Ra? What is the definition? Now, there's a tremendous machlokes of poiskim regarding what is a Kelev Ra. Rashi, commenting on Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, which we mentioned before, the source, but Rashi says the following: the definition of a Kelev Ra is a Kelev that bites and barks, therefore causing pregnant women to miscarry. That is Rashi's opinion. Now, it's quite interesting. On purpose, I've mistranslated Rashi, or maybe not mistranslated Rashi, because there is a vov between barking and biting. But there's a big machlokes on how we read that Rashi. What did Rashi really mean? Is it va as a vav achibur, as a ois achibur, or is it oi, one or the other? So there is a machlokes on how to read that Rashi, and we'll see that some will read it as a dog that does both, and some will say that a dog that does either one of them, barking or biting, is a Kelev Ra.
Pardon? Just repeat the actual Rashi.
I have the English I prepared, the Shir in English, but it says it bites and barks. But bites and barks is joined together by a vov. Is it ve or oi? So in reading Rashi, there is a machlokes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Kosher Mishpat, Siman Taf Tes Aloche Gimel, Shulchan Aruch passes in accordance with the opinion that limits the prohibition to a kelev ra. So according to Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, if the kelev is not a kelev ra, if your dog is not begeder kelev ra, if you have a tiny poodle that is docile and doesn't bark much and doesn't bite, poodles have a shrieky kind of bark that may be very irritating, but they're not necessarily frightening. Yeah. So according to that opinion, that is the way Shulchan Aruch is paskening, limiting the prohibition to a kelev ra. Now, in the Acharonim, the psak of Shulchan Aruch is accepted by almost all Acharonim, with the exception of Shilas Yavetz. Rav Yaakov Emden, Shilas Yavetz, Simon Yud Zayin, passes that it is only mutter to own a dog if it serves an economic or protective purpose, and he goes on to strongly condemn owning a dog as bitulzman, as a waste of time, and chukas agoyim. It's a non-Jewish behavior, it's a non-Jewish custom. So he strongly condemns. However, it's quite interesting. Talking about the Yavetz, but he doesn't bring a source to corroborate his standpoint, his stance. He doesn't bring a source. Now, when we mention Kelev Ra, Kelev Koifri, we find sources in Gemara, as we've demonstrated at the beginning of the Shir. But the majority of Poiskim who read this Yavetz come to the same consensus that what he's saying over here about Bitulzman and Chukas Agoyim is his own personal opinion on the matter, which is completely entitled to. It's the Yavetz, and we follow his Psakim, and we all Talmidim on the Yavetz. But it's not necessarily something that is rooted in Gemara. The Yom Shel Shloime, which I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the Shir, he says that a dog is considered to be evil, ra, even if it barks, even if it does not bite. So he's reading Rashi as one or the other. Biting or barking, either one of the two is sufficient for that dog to be considered a kelev ra. Why? Because of Rashi's reason that it may cause an expectant mother to miscarry.
Usually all the dogs bark.
Pardon?
Dogs usually bark.
Yeah. But there are different types of it. As I mentioned, a shrieky barking of a tiny poodle is not going to frighten anyone. Whereas a Rottweiler, even if it is chained, it's not going to escape. But pit bull or Rottweiler, that might be a very frightening experience. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Gros in Hilchos Shmiras HaGuf VaNefesh, Simon Gimel, remarks that it is very common for Eden to own dogs that bark and don't bite. And he further explained that this practice seems to follow the opinion of those who limit the agdora of a kelev ra to the one that bites. However, the Graz, he contends that this position is rejected by most poiskim, who hold that an evil dog also includes those that bark, even if they do not bite. And therefore the Graz gives very, very specific instructions at the end of the Aloha. It says, every single God-fearing Yid should be certain to keep their dogs that bark tied up in iron chains while people are awake, even if the dogs merely bark but do not bite. The Knesset HaGdoila, commenting on Choshe Mishpat, that we mentioned before, Choshe Mishpat Sif Kotten Dalet, explains that the Minhag HaOlam is not like the Psak of the Yom Shel Shloime, and not like the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and that it is very common to own dogs that bark as long as they do not bite. And therefore, from here, we could infer that if we're talking about what Rabbi Shmuel mentions in the Gemara, a Kofri type of dog, a dog that does not bite, or barks but does not bite, that it would be mutter. Certainly, a small pet dog, a poodle, a beagle, certainly, according to this, it would be mutter. Now, we find, and now we're going to talk about other kinds of pets for recreational purposes, for therapeutic purposes. And that is in a way, that segues into a completely different shir. If someone has a guide dog, a seeing dog, yeah, and the dog knows how to bring you to shul, can you, if there is an eruv, if there is no eruv, can you use your dog and bring the dog into a shul? That is a completely different shir, but it is a fascinating shir. It is also something that has to be looked at from a halachic standpoint. Now, we have various sources in the Gemara that indicate that Eden used various animals for recreational purposes. There is a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos Daf Tzadi Amud Beis telling us that children used to play with a certain type of locust. There is another Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chof Amud Aleph, telling us that there is a type of bird called a kalanita that children played with. And now, these two passages in the Gemara seem to demonstrate that there is absolutely no objection to keeping animals for enjoyment, which is very much contrary to the opinion of the Ivets. You will remember that the Ivets said that having pets is a waste of time, is a bitul zman. But we have two sources in the Gemara here demonstrating from owning and playing with locusts and owning and playing with this bird called a kalanita that people did it. Now, maybe the Ivets, how can we reconcile? Maybe the Ivets will say, these are sources not talking about dogs, and I'm talking about dogs. One is talking about a locust, the other one is talking about a bird. And a chinami, I have no objection to those, but a dog is different. However, the general consensus, according to most authorities, is that one may own a pet provided that it doesn't pose a danger to people or property. People or property. And that has been published in Tchumim Volume 9, Tchumim Volume 8. Now, the same would be true, I dare say, if a person needs a pet for a therapeutic purpose, as that serves a clear purpose in the sense that it is beneficial to the owner's health, for example. The Poskim have also debated whether such pets, as I mentioned before, guide dogs, so on and so forth, may enter shuls, and that is a separate and fascinating shir that also is worth looking into. Now, we are 1 minute away from finishing this shir, and as you know, I like to try, and be mapid so as not to be gaze al zman or cause you unnecessary tzar balei chaim. So I try and finish on time. May I eat before feeding my pet? That's a Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Mem Amud Aleph and Daf Gittin Daf Samech Beis Amud Aleph, stating clearly that one may not eat before he has fed his animal. And that is based on a pasuk in Sefer Devarim Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Tes Vav. And there is a machlokes poskim, as you read, the only machlokes poskim is whether there's an Isur Deraisa, the Rabbanon, or rather a Midas Chassidus. We have the Magen Avram, who says that this is a Deraisa, and the Yavetz also seems to understand that this is a Deraisa. The Biur Halacha, however, in Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, on Halacha Vav, Dibur HaMaskil Umikol Mokwi, the Biur Halacha explains that the Ramah and other authorities do not agree with the possibility that this be an Isur Deraisa. They say it's an Isur Derabonim, as does the Chai Odom, the Mishnah Berurah, the Orach HaShulchan. All of them hold that this is an Isur Derabonim. However, it makes no nafkamina whatsoever. For a God-fearing, observant, frumi it makes no nafkamina. What's the Isur Deraisa, Isur Derabonim? The only question is if you need to be matir, bishaz, being matir the shayla, that is a shikul adas for the poisek, for the person contending with that situation, dealing with that situation. And you can't eat before having fed your animal. Now, we haven't addressed feeding the animal food that contains a mixture of basar v'cholov, chometz during Pesach, melech Shabbos, so on and so forth. However, Belshem, it means that Bli Neder will have material for the follow-up share. Shkoyach Godu Raboise, and thank you very much.
Teravi Adiris.